Bush. Mangum, all kinds of time. Steps into the throw, in the wind, down to the goal line, and caught! Touchdown, BYU! Mitch Matthews on the last play of the game!
This should be the last snap of the football game. Snap to John. John backpedals, plenty of time. He's moving to his left, shuffling. All kinds of time. Now the heat comes. He's got to run to the right. John Beck is on the run. He throws behind him. It is caught for the touchdown! Johnny Harleen got it for the score! Harleen by himself in the end zone! The Cougars win it on the final play of the game!
You are listening to the Cougar Tales Podcast. Here are your hosts, Devin Pendleton and Hunter Miller.
Welcome in to a heartbreaking edition of the Cougar Tales Podcast. I'm Hunter Miller. I'm joined by Devin Pendleton, here to recap everything BYU, Boise State. Devin, how are you?
In my life I'm good, but in my sports life, it's not looking too good right now.
Well, we talked a little bit about it last week. We gave our predictions. We both picked BYU to lose, so the result itself shouldn't be too disappointing.
Yeah. No, it's not. They played a lot better than I think we both thought they would. Their defense was pretty stout, with Boise State averaging 40 more points offensively per game. Them holding them only to 21 points and having the chance to win was pretty big, I think.
Well, surprisingly enough, BYU has the 25th ranked total defense in the entire country. I don't know how that number has shifted following the game against Boise State, but going into the Boise State game, BYU had the 25th ranked total defense in the country. 21 points and only 327 yards. BYU actually outgained Boise State in this game, 388 total yards for the Cougars, 327 total yards for Boise State. The defense did well, holding Boise State at home to only 21 points. If you're an opponent going into Boise and the Broncos only score 21, you should come out with a victory. The only problem is that BYU only scored 16, actually more than I predicted. I had them at 14. I actually had the final score, I think my prediction was 27-14. So Boise State didn't live up to my expectations, and BYU actually exceeded them. You had BYU scoring 21 this game.
I did. So they definitely didn't go to my expectations. Why I thought that they'd score 21 is Boise State, not a bad defense, but not a great defense. So I thought that they would be able to exceed that 21-point mark. I was wrong. They could have at the end there with some suspect play calling. We'll get into that, though.
Well, what did you – well, I mean, you brought it up. Let's talk about it. What did you think about that play calling there at the end?
I've been thinking a lot about it. The whole game, you have Zach Wilson, you're setting him free, right? You're giving him reads, you're letting him kind of choose what to do out there, is what I think Grimes took the right approach with that, kind of setting him loose, letting him make the decisions.
Yeah. 29 pass attempts for Wilson in this game.
Instead of just running it straight up the middle like they did every time in those dumb little short passes, every single time like they did against NIU, you were letting Zach free, and then once you get there at the end, you're on the 3-yard line. Give me a break. You can't score. Those are just this says play calling. Like, you got to have more receivers out. You can't have Matt Bushman, of all people, who's known for not being a great blocker, blocking.
Yeah.
If you're gonna do that, get a tight end in there that can block better than Matt Bushman.
Well, there's a lot of things that were shocking at the end of that Boise State BYU game. Quick rundown of kind of where BYU stood in that final possession. They get the ball back with 2:05 remaining on that 1st and 10. Is when Zach Wilson completes that screen pass for 60 yards to Matt Hadley, really 59, but essentially 60 yards, get all the way to the Boise State 24 for a first down. They now take over with 2 minutes, with a little bit under 2 minutes left, 1st and 10 at the Boise 24. So you have 24 yards to go, essentially 2 minutes to do it, and you go down and you run the ball, you get down to what was this is where things start to get a little bit concerning if you're a BYU fan. And the BYU play calling is you get to that Zach Katoa run where he goes for 8 yards. Lupini Katoa runs 8 yards to the Boise State 5. And you now have a 2nd and 2 at the Boise State 5-yard line. You run Matt Hadley for no gain on 3rd and 2 and wastes about 40 seconds.
With a bad Bushman block right there. That was...
And then you have it 3rd and 2 again at the Boise State 5, and you run again Matt Hadley run for no gain to the Boise State 5.
Yeah.
So you have back-to-back Matt Hadley no gain runs, and you essentially take a minute off the clock.
Yeah. It was just some awful clock management, and I let that one fall on the coaches.
Well, this is 100%. This loss is 100%
this is on the coaches.
This loss is 100% on the coaches, and I still have no idea what Grimes was trying to do there.
Zach Wilson going into a hostile environment in Boise that's always hard to win. It doesn't matter who you are. Letting him just run loose like that, he did great. He was a baller the whole game. Yes, obviously you could argue you should have thrown that ball away. That's a freshman mistake. Once again, the coaches should have grabbed him and said, Zach, if you don't have it, throw it away so we have one more play.
Yeah, that's, again, on the coaches. Freshmen are going to make mistakes like that. To have the coaches, anyone, from Kalani to Grimes to Aaron Roderick to Fessy Sitake, not get in the ear of Zach Wilson there and say, hey, you have 7 seconds here. We don't have timeouts. If it's not there, immediately throw it away. I have a problem with that. I have a problem with, one, Zach not throwing away, but I can't put it all on him, so I then have a problem with the coaches not making that painstakingly clear to him. What I have the biggest issue with, however, isn't any of that. It isn't the let's run 3 straight plays when we have a first and when we only need 5 yards. I don't have issues with that. What I do have an issue with is on that play call, the last, what essentially ended up being the last play of the game, where Zach Wilson, it says, is got sacked for a loss of 2 yards. He was scrambling, and it just more was a tackle for a loss than a sack, was the fact that they sent out 2 receivers.
Yeah.
You had 8 people blocking, and you only sent out 2 receivers. Yeah. And you still allowed, with 8 blockers, allowed pressure immediately. Like, there was no chance that Wilson was going to be able to get a good read, because as soon as that ball was snapped, he was under pressure. What it was like for the majority of the game.
Yeah, and I think that goes deeper on that. That's on the offensive line. Let me ask you this. I think we talked about it a little bit earlier today. We were at lunch. The O-line went from a good O-line to crap overnight, and there hasn't been injuries. What do you think's going on with that O-line?
I mean, I wish I had answers. I have no clue what's going on with the offensive line play. But you're right, we were singing their praises following that Wisconsin game. Now here we are talking about how they essentially are the reason that BYU...
They're a huge reason they're losing.
Couldn't win.
Because BYU can't get the run game going because those DBs are getting in there right away. The running backs, doesn't matter who you're putting in there, whether it's Squally, Lopini, or Hadley, they can't find their holes because they're getting wrapped up right away.
Yeah. 5 sacks last week for NIU's defense, which, you know, that's a defense that's one of the top front sevens in the entire country.
Boise State's not, though.
Boise State, there's no excuse for 5 sacks. There were a couple instances, however, where Zach needed to get the ball away.
Yeah.
And those are freshman mistakes. But there was, I mean, the running game for the first half for BYU was non-existent. -5 rushing yards. And that included sack yardage in the first half for BYU.
And I'll put
0 rushing yards in the first quarter. So they had 0 in the first quarter, -5 in the second quarter. Finally, they were able to get that number up and eventually rushed for 96 yards as a team on 38 attempts, 2.5 yards per rush.
And to me, that's completely on the O-line. Because clearly, we've seen all 3 of these running backs can do stuff when they get in the open field. Like you saw in that screenplay, Hadley made 5 or 6 guys miss getting down, you know, down with that 60-yard run.
Yeah.
So they can make guys miss. They just need to get through that first stack of guys, and the O-line is not letting them do that.
And it's not even just the blocking on the offensive line. It's the penalties. False starts, holding calls. I mean, there was lots of penalties on that offensive line. In total, there were 8 penalties on BYU. Boise State had more penalty yardage. BYU had more penalties. Of course, the yardage for Boise State helped with a couple of pass interference calls. 8 penalties for 58 yards on BYU.
And here's the problem.
And I'm not sure how many of those were holdings and false starts, but it seemed like that was majority of the penalties.
And here's the problem with the timing of the penalties that BYU is, you know, they're getting the penalties. They'll drive down the field. They'll get in scoring, at least field goal position, right? They'll get down to, say, for example, the 15. I think this happened against NIU. You get 2 straight penalties.
2 straight false starts.
2 straight false starts. That puts you out of scoring range right away.
Yeah.
The defense didn't even need to do anything.
Yeah.
And you screwed yourself. They keep screwing themselves in the red zone, as we've seen. The red zone is becoming scary to this BYU offense.
Yeah. Makes no sense. Makes no sense.
Which they earlier this year, they had a 60% scoring average in the red zone, which now they can't even score.
Yeah, they can't. It seems like every time they're able to drive down the field, and it happened, what, 3 times against in this Boise State game where BYU drives down the field, they're efficient, they're running good plays, they're getting receivers open, they're getting running room, and they get to the red zone, and suddenly, I mean, again, I'm going to go to Grimes here because he's the one calling plays, but you get all the way down the field, Wilson is completing passes, you know, they're getting good running room with Hadley and Katoa, and then you put in Jaren Hall for a quarterback draw. Like, just out of nowhere. Like, I understand, like, maybe you're trying to draw, you know, get Boise State where they're confused or surprise them here and there, but what Jaren Hall going in, they're not going to be surprised by a quarterback run.
No.
Like, that's the only reason you're putting him in there.
Yeah, anyone.
And they ran quarterback draws for Wilson. They ran quarterback draws for Jaren Hall. They ran out of shotgun for Matt Hadley and Lapini Katoa. So the play calling, as soon as they got within scoring range, just seemed like Grimes went away from everything that had gotten them down the field.
Which doesn't make any sense. Stick with what's driving you down the field.
Yeah.
Clearly that's what Zach Wilson is most comfortable in.
So Zach Wilson on that final drive where they got down to the Boise State 2-yard line. Let me do the math real quick. Had 67 passing yards on that drive. Again, that is skewed a little bit because of that huge 59-yard.
But he had to fit that ball through a nice window, yeah, though, if you go back and look at it.
It was an impressive throw. Zach Wilson pass complete to Matt Hadley for 15 yards. Zach Wilson pass complete to Dylan Colley for 8 yards. Then it's Katoa run, Hadley run, Hadley run, Zach Wilson run, Zach Wilson sacked. Those are the following plays. The first 2 plays, or 2 of the first 3 plays of that drive were Zach Wilson pass. One went for 60 yards, one went for 8 yards. You get down to the Boise State 5-yard line, and it's run for no gain, run for no gain.
Why not run another 8-yard slant there?
Why send 2 receivers out when you're needing to win the game?
Right.
Why have 8 people blocking?
He needed to have options.
And 2 receivers.
Options there. And I don't know if Grimes was scared because the offensive line was just getting obliterated the whole game for the most part, that if they didn't have 8 blockers, it was going to be... Because I know it was a run-pass option. Grimes has made it clear, and if you watch it, it is clear the way Zach was running on that. You know, he looked first and then ran.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a run-pass option, but they need more receivers. They at least need a 3rd receiver out there.
And this is not just us saying this. Former BYU linebacker Brian Kill gets on Twitter, says, 0 in all caps, reason to call a 2-man route there. I'm in disbelief.
Yeah.
I was too.
I think a lot of people are. And, you know, it's a young coaching staff as well as a young team. I understand that. They have a true freshman quarterback, and they're trying to find the offense that he's most comfortable in. Right, Grimes and him are working, and the whole offensive staff. But you can't be experimenting on the game-winning drive in the red zone.
Yeah. I know. There's
stick with what was working.
Run slant routes to Dylan Colley, run Bushman out on an out route towards the corner. There's a lot of things you could do rather than run for no gain, run for no gain, out of shotgun.
Yeah. And it's just, going back to critical mistakes by BYU, Matt Bushman with that huge catch and then fumbling.
Yeah, that was...
That was huge. That was a game winner.
That was bizarre.
I know we talked about last week, you can't say, like, oh, the what-if-thens.
You can't play
the what-if-then. I want to say that's a what-if-then.
Yeah, well, I mean, you look at it, it was, I mean, that was such a crazy play. I mean, you want to criticize it, but it's like, it would have worked, but Bushman just, he injured his shoulder last week against NIU, that obviously played a part in him fumbling the ball there, where he had a brace for impact. Because normally if you're going down like that, you just want to hold the ball with both arms, you know, take the brunt of it, brunt of the impact on your shoulder there. He obviously put his arm down to brace for impact because of that hurt shoulder. So, like, you want to sit back and criticize it, although it's such a crazy play that you can't.
I personally thought he was down, but...
Yeah, but there was no way to conclusively
say. You can't make those excuses.
Yeah, there was no way to conclusively say he was down or not. Just an overall crazy game. BYU, although looks to bounce back this week against UMass.
In Foxborough.
In Boston. In
That's
Foxborough.
Pretty cool.
They'll be playing in the Patriots Stadium.
Let's just hope they can cut the offensive woes against the terrible UMass defense.
It's a 10 a.m. game, early game, so it'll be 8. So it'll be 10 a.m. on the west, or in Mountain Standard Time here in Utah. BYU not used to playing early 10 o'clock games. They did play, I think Wisconsin was a 10 o'clock game, if I'm not mistaken.
10 or 11. I can't remember.
I might be wrong. The ESPN Power Index has BYU... chance to, or matchup predictor, 72.5% chance BYU wins the game, according to the ESPN Football Power Index. There doesn't seem to be a spread or a money line or an over-under here. UMass, last five, they were struggling throughout much of October. However, the last two games, victory at UConn, 22-17, and a victory over Liberty, 62-59, in triple overtime. UMass is averaging 35 points per game as opposed to BYU's 22. However, UMass is allowing 41.5, their opponents to score 41.5 points per game.
Let me tell you this, though, strength of schedule. What's their strength of schedule compared to BYU?
I don't know. I mean, obviously,
because it's got to be way down there. Because if you beat Liberty and UConn, who I believe UConn has a one win team.
So here's how UMass has looked this year: win over Duchesne 63-15, lost to Boston College, lost to Georgia Southern 34-13, a loss to Charlotte for 49ers 31-59, lost to Georgia Southern, lost to FIU 63-24, then beat Charlotte 49ers 49-31. Lost to Ohio, lost to USF, lost to Coastal Carolina, win over UConn, win over Liberty.
I'll be very surprised if BYU doesn't come up by at least two scores in this game.
So we talked about the over-under last week. I said the over-under for BYU points at 17. BYU actually hit the under, coming in at 16. Over-under points for BYU this Saturday, I'm going to set it at 37.5. Would you take the over or the under?
I'm going to take the under, just being safe here.
You take the under. However, UMass is allowing 41.5 points per game.
I know, but I think BYU will win.
UMass has a worse ranked defense than Hawaii, and we know how that Hawaii game went.
I think BYU is going to put up
37
points exactly in this game.
I'm going to go over.
Okay.
I'm going to say BYU puts up 45 points per game.
Okay. I'm going to say they put up 37.
I'm going to go 45-21.
I'm going to go 37-14.
All right. So here's the other key statistic. UMass is allowing 265 rushing yards per game.
If BYU gets that rush going, then
265 rushing yards allowed by UMass. BYU is 0-5 this season when they fail to break 100 yards rushing. They should easily be able to break 100 yards against this UMass defense.
And if they don't, we'll have some more woes to talk about on this show.
If they, I mean, it's a better team, BYU, this year than they were last year. I don't think you could argue that that's not the case. But again, you look back at last year and you think, well, we should have walked all over UMass last year, too.
It's Jekyll and Hyde. 1 week, you're like, yeah, Cougs, go Cougs, baby. They're back. Next week, it's like, are they what they were last year?
But these, but these next 2 weeks should be
easy wins for
BYU. They
should win these next 2 weeks pretty easily.
Yeah, pretty handily should be wins for this BYU team. Hopefully next week we can do our first ever victory podcast. I mean, we started this and they've lost to two heartbreaking games where they had a chance to win late. So hopefully next week we can bring you guys a happy, celebratory Cougar Tales podcast. I'm Hunter Miller. That's been Devin Pendleton. Thanks for listening.
Thanks.